Srila Raghunandana Thakur appears. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami appears. All in one day. Very, very auspicious.
Very auspicious.
Very auspicious. So, I will speak about all these things in the evening. So, more devotee will be.
Yeah.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading Canto 11, Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga, Text 13 and 14. Iti sarvani bhutani bhavena mahadrite sabjayam sabhajayam manyamano jnanam kevalam ashrita. Do you want to try to repeat? We can do that if you want. I can say very slowly. Iti sarvani bhutani.
Iti sarvani bhutani.
Matvavena mahadyute.
Matvavena mahadyute.
Sabhajayam manyamano.
Sabhajayam manyamano.
Jnanam kevalam ashrita.
Jnanam kevalam ashrita.
Brahmane. Pukkasestene.
Brahmane pukkasestene.
Brahmanyer ke spulingake.
Brahmanyer ke spulingake.
Akrure krurake chaiva.
Akrure krurake chaiva.
Samadrik pandito mataha.
Samadrik pandito mataha.
I can see. Natural for you to sing Sanskrit. That's the samskaras, you know. Western devotees were more very difficult to sing like that, you know, by hearing. Okay, translation. Oh, brilliant Uddhava, one who thus views all living entities with the idea that I am present within each of them, and who, by taking shelter of this divine knowledge, offers due respect to everyone, is considered actually wise. Such a man sees equally the Brahmana and the outcast, the thief and the charitable promoter of Brahminical culture, the sun and the tiny sparks of fire, the gentle and the cruel. Proper. A series of opposites is set forth here, namely the high-class Brahmana and the low-class aborigine, the thief who steals from respectable persons, and the respecter of Brahminical culture who gives charity to Brahmins, the all-powerful sun and the insignificant spark, and finally the kind and the cruel. Ordinarily, the ability to distinguish between such opposites qualifies one as intelligent. How then can the Lord state that ignoring such obvious differences establishes one as a wise man? The answer is given by the words Madhbhavena. A wise person sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead within everything. Therefore, although externally perceiving and dealing with the varieties of material situation, a wise man is more impressed by and concerned with the overwhelming unity of all existence, which is based on the presence of the Supreme Lord within everything. As explained here, a truly wise person is not limited to superficial material discrimination. Omma jnana timirandasya gyanandana sarakaya chakshurum militam yena tasma shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano vishtam shapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kada mahyam dadati swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guna Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Mitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichatana Chaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamishcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Namandu Janarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prisadam Shrete Vikramami Hari Priye Panchakalpataru Vachya Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Pajana Nubhavadevyo Vaishnavirgo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Vivasadam Nikauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Utam Karoti Vachanam Pannam Vethe Yatki Vakamaham Vandeshe Vandana Kavaram Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvara So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is Achintya Veda Vida Tattva. Simultaneously one, the Lord is one with everything, and that's inconceivably different from everything at the same time. So, to understand that, we have first to understand the unity, then the diversity, the difference. Unity means we have to see that nothing is different from the Lord. Everything is coming from the Lord. So He is everything. It is said in the Vishnu Purana, Parasha Shakti Vidhaya Vashikuryate, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. That the Supreme Lord has unlimited number of potencies and energies under His working under His direction. And the three main energies are jnana, knowledge, bala, power, and kriya, volition. So the Lord controls everything creation by these three potencies. He knows everything because He's in the heart of every living entity. So He knows the past, present, future of every living entity. He knows all the activities of every individual. So He never makes mistake in giving anybody what everybody deserves, each and everyone, get what deserves. But when somebody, the Lord is, so to speak, is neutral to everyone. But those who become devotees of the Lord take personal care. Why He showed this partiality? It's not an effect, it's an ornament, because the Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsala. He loves His devotees, because the devotees love Him. It's a reciprocal activity, a reciprocal relationship. So, here it is explained that somebody who has developed such love for Krishna, he will see Him everywhere. Because the Lord, Rupa once said, you have to understand that Krishna is everything, but everything is not Krishna. Looks like contradiction, but it's not contradiction. Because Krishna is everything, everything is coming from Him. Aham sarvasya pravavamatta sarvam pravartati timattva jantram dhabhava samambita. Everything is coming from Me, all the material, spiritual worlds coming from Me. And the wise person who knows that, he worships Me with all his heart. So to know that everything is coming from Krishna, everything is Krishna's energy. And energy and the energetic are inseparable. You can't separate. You know, the energy depends on the energetic, the origin of all energy. He controls the energy. They are under His supervision. They don't act independently. Krishna gives some freedom, you know, for all living entities to act, but finally everything is under His supreme control. Free will is always there. Otherwise, once one devotee, his name was Karandar, from Los Angeles. He, at the time of Prabhupada, he left the movement. So, he left the movement because he had big doubt, something, philosophical doubt or something. He left. So Prabhupada came to know what was his doubt. Some devotees told him. Prabhupada, he said that since Krishna knew that we were going to use our free will by, you know, by enjoying Maya, why he created free will? That was his argument. Krishna gave free will that we are misusing, we are creating problems for ourselves, then why he give free will? He should not have given free will like that. He was saying like that. Prabhupada was laughing. He said, why you want to be a robot? No will, no feeling, no desire? Just like a machine, a rock, you know, without, you know, desire to do. That's the beauty of free will. You can use it properly or you can misuse it. That's individually up to each and every individual. So he wants to misuse his free will and blaming Krishna for it. Why you don't use it properly? I remember once in Los Angeles, one devotee was very, very depressed, you know, even at the point of thinking of committing suicide. So he came to ask me for advice. He said, well, I told him, what is the problem? He said, well, I have too many material desires, and I have a terminal disease. So what do you used to live like that? Better die. Better kill myself. I told him, okay, you want to commit suicide? Okay, commit suicide from all material desires. Kill all your material desires. That's the best suicide you can make. So you want to die? Okay, die. Die this way. Die to live. Die to live, not die to die, to die again and again. Die to live forever. Commit suicide from all your material desires, then you will be happy. So, well, you defeated me. He changed his mind. He didn't do that. And he died some years later. His terminal disease or something. But he wasn't better. Because he was chanting more, reading more. I told him, you have to prepare. You know. We are all going to die. Once one mother and her daughter, they were both were Prabhupada disciples. They went to see Prabhupada and Vrindavan. And the girl was a young girl, maybe like 19 years or something. 18, young 19. And she had cancer, terminal cancer. And they went to Vrindavan. So she will die there. So they went to see Prabhupada. So they went to see Prabhupada. And they were crying, you know. They were very emotional, you know. And Prabhupada, my daughter is going to die. She's so young, you know. And this and that. Prabhupada said, and who's not going to die? Who's not going to die? Either you die today or tomorrow or in 10, 20, everybody has to die. So what is the use of lamentation? Better prepare. Fix your mind on Krishna. You know, and give up your life successfully. What is the use of lamenting? The body is going to die anyway, sooner or later. If by karma destiny you have to die earlier, then what else can you do? Fix your mind on Krishna. Once the devotees told Prabhupada, Mayapur, Prabhupada, some, you know, let me just say, Prabhupada, there is a alarming news that a third world war may happen soon, you know, some conflict, you know, Pakistan, India, this and that, Russia and America and all this. What we should do, Prabhupada? How we should prepare if there is a war? Prabhupada says, just chant Hare Krishna. You want to say, that's all, Prabhupada? Yes, that's all. What else can you do? If you are destined to die, what else can you do? Chant Hare Krishna. Once a reporter asked Prabhupada, Master, what you will do if somebody dropped a bomb on you? What you will do? Say, what? Is Krishna coming from me to take me with him? So that means fearlessness. Fearlessness. I mean, everybody is afraid of death. Nobody wants to die, that's for sure. Devotee or non-devotee. But at least devotee knows, I'm not going to die, the body is going to die. At least theoretically. But we should prepare to be also consciously to know that it is a fact. We should not be afraid because the body is going to die, we are not going to die. We should only be afraid to forget Krishna at the time of death. That's the only fear we should have. One morning walk in the park in Prabhupada, South America, Venezuela, one devotee told Prabhupada, I go to study in the university, and one professor told me once that this idea of God was invented by man due to fear of death. So he's atheistic, you know, atheistic. Prabhupada said, okay, tell your professor that if the problem is death, that's why we think about God, then let him solve the problem of death. We don't care about God. That don't ask us to stop thinking of God without first solving the problem of death. Is he not afraid of death? If some thief comes with a gun put on his head, he's going to say, yes, kill me, I'm not afraid. No, he said, please, take all my money, please don't kill me. Police, help, help. Who's not afraid? Everybody's afraid. So that means there is higher power. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to get old or sick. But means higher power above us we can't control. Everybody has to undergo this. So the higher power means there is supreme control. Supreme controller. So to understand how Krishna is controlling everything, and how he is present in everything, that is called samadarshana, equal vision. Here is Krishna speaking. A wise man doesn't just see the external covering of living entities. Interestingly, here it is mentioned that, let me read the verse again for those who didn't hear it. Oh, brilliant Uddhava, one who thus views all living entities with the idea that I am present within each of them, and who by taking shelter of this divine knowledge offer due respect to everyone, is considered actually wise. Such a man sees equally the Brahmana and the outcast, the thief and the charitable promoter of Brahminical culture, the sun and the tiny sparks of fire, the gentle and the cruel. Because all these differences, contradictory differences, I mean, a man is considered intelligent if he can discriminate, you know, properly. We know the dog is also spirit soul. That doesn't mean we bring the dog to eat with us, you know, at the same table. We have to make some discrimination. You know? Practical discrimination must be there. Otherwise, that's foolishness. But here, Krishna is promoting to develop a spiritual vision, to see the soul, not just the body. And how next to the soul is the super soul. This reminds me also another Leela of Prabhupada in Venezuela at the park. Usually every morning while walking, Prabhupada will answer some questions from devotees, you know, have some conversation. But one morning, Prabhupada didn't speak at all. All the time just chanting, you know, walking in the park, you know, like 1 hour walking in the park. And at the end of the walk, Prabhupada sat on a bench. We were all chanting japa, you know. So we sat on the floor. Maybe we thought maybe he's going to tell us something. So we stopped chanting to wait for him to speak. But Prabhupada didn't speak. He just looked at all of us very scrutinizingly, like looking inside, you know. But he wasn't looking at the external, he was looking inside, you know, the heart like that, sharply, you know, at each and every one. And we were like waiting, what he, you know, He'll say. And then Brahma said, just chant Hare Krishna. He would laugh, he laughed also. He goes, we stop chanting to expect him to speak. So I say, why you stop? Just chant Hare Krishna. And we were chanting, and after a few minutes, he got up and started to walk behind me. He walked very fast, actually. For his age, you know, it was amazing, you know, the way he walked. Even one devotee, young devotee, 20 years old, he said that Brahma walked so fast that he thought he could not make it. He thought that he had to sit down. He was so tired after walking 1 hour. And that very moment, Prabhupada decided to sit in the bench, you know. So, wow, thank you, Krishna. Well, Prabhupada was so energetic for his age. Once, before coming to Venezuela, Prabhupada went to Mexico for 1 week. And in Mexico, Prabhupada also went to the park. There is a very big, huge park there. You find trees, like, I get to that park. You have fine trees here. Like half of this room, the trunk is like half of this, like, you know, big, huge trees, you know. And lakes with swans, you know, it's a huge park. So every morning Prabhupada would walk there. One day, Prabhupada saw eucalyptus tree. You know, Prabhupada used in India neem branches to, as a brush, you know. Yes. But in the West, Prabhupada will use eucalyptus because the neem wasn't available. Anyway, Prabhupada's 100th anniversary, you know, appearance anniversary, we planted a tree in the same part that Prabhupada used to walk every day in Venezuela. And the president of the park came for the inauguration, the TV and everything. We put some sign there, you know. And everything. We took Prabhupada's murti, we walked all the places Prabhupada visited. A bus loaded with people came from another town to take part, you know, in this celebration. So, anyway, Prabhupada told Vidyananda Maharaj, I want that branch up there. You know, it was a branch to use for toothbrush. So it was very hard. So Prabhupada, Vidyananda Maharaj looked at the devotees, you know, said, Prabhupada want that branch, what are you going to do about it? They want to look at each other, what can we do? You know, it's just very up there. You know. So the devotees decided to please, you know, wanted to do something to please Prabhupada. So they decided to make a human pyramid, you know, just make four, five underneath, and then three, and then one, and, you know, like that, you know, climbing on each other like that. Do you know that this art of human pyramid, they call it, it is very popular in Spain. They have, you know, they have even competition and everything, who can make it the tallest, you know?
I really told that.
Oh, yes, yes. So, the devotees were not professional. They didn't, you know how to do this, so they failed a few times, you know. Until finally, like after 3-4 attempts, they could grab it. And as soon as the devotee grabbed that, all fell again, you know. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, you know. Anyway, so they gave the branch to Vidyananda Maharaj. Vidyananda Maharaj gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada took the branch, examined it, and said, it is useless. The devotee went, Prabhupada was pleased they tried, you know, they tried to do something, you know. Prabhupada had many programs, preaching program on the TV, you know. There was one program at midnight, you know, until 1, 2 in the morning. And Prabhupada, the devotee said, Prabhupada, this is very, you know, difficult, maybe you should not go. Prabhupada said, how many people are going to see this program? Well, they said, Prabhupada, millions of people see this program. Like 10, 15 million see this program. You know, it's a very famous program. Prabhupada said, we should go. No problem. We sleep during the day. No problem. So Prabhupada went. We had wonderful preaching, you know. And then in Cuernavaca, And then another program, the next day, stage program, so many programs, you know. And one devotee told Prabhupada, the temple president, Prabhupada, there are so many mosquitoes and they're disturbing me like anything. Are the mosquitoes disturbing you? Prabhupada said, no, not at all. And Prabhupada said, the devotee said, Prabhupada, maybe they know you're pure devotee, they are not, they are respectful. Prabhupada said, maybe, but Mayapur, they don't make any discrimination. So, anyway, so once we know the unity of everything, then we shall know the difference. Well, let me explain what is the unity. Everything is coming from Krishna. Nothing is separate from Krishna. Nothing is independent from His existence. Sometimes, you know, the devotees of Lord Shiva and the devotees of Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, they quarrel. Who's the supreme? Shiva is the supreme. No, Krishna is the supreme. Vishnu is the supreme. Vishwanath Chakravarti said that this is a waste of time because this argument that to say that no, Shiva is the supreme, not Vishnu, is not correct. But also to fight them that no, Vishnu is the supreme, not Shiva, is also not at all correct. Why? Because Shiva doesn't have separate existence from Vishnu. Understand? So we must make difference. We have to know the difference, but the unity at the same time. So since Lord Shiva doesn't have a separate existence from Lord Vishnu, in one sense he is also Vishnu. The only transformation is when he comes into the material world. So there are two Shivas, Sada Shiva and the Shiva who enters the material world. So when you enter the material world, it's like milk touched by some tamarind or something, then becomes into curd. But it's just milk, you know, but at the same time you can't use it as milk. So it has different purpose. The same way, we have to be careful never to disrespect the devatas. We have to be very careful. They are great personalities, great devotees of the Lord. We should always pay due respect. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while traveling, he visited the Shiva temples and paid his respect there. His obeisance to Lord Shiva. I mean, if somebody disrespects Lord Shiva or ignores Lord Shiva, he will not be able to make spiritual advancement. We should be careful about that. Very much. I mean, he wrote this wonderful prayer for Radharani. What is the Radha Kripa Kataksha? Yeah, Radha Kripa Kataksha. Amazing, beautiful. Somebody have feelings like that, you know, so he can bestow Krishna Bhakti to us also. You know. So we should have utmost respect. Of course, we can worship Lord Shiva as a pure devotee of the Lord. The problem with the pseudo devotees of Shiva is that they think that not only they think Shiva is the supreme, but they think I am Shiva, aham Shiva. Even Mayavadis, they want to merge and Shiva become one with Shiva. But those who are pure devotees of Lord Shiva, they go to Sadashiva Loka. It's like beneath the Vaikuntha planet, but it's also an eternal planet. Even in this universe, there is an eternal planet, Vaikuntha, local Vaikuntha planet. The polar star, you know, Dhruva Loka. And in that planet, there is a milk ocean. And in the middle of the milk ocean, there is an island. In that island, there is a big palace. And there, Paramatma, Shri Sai Vishnu, live there with his associate and servants, Lakshmiji, everything. And when devatas are in danger, they go on the shore, headed by Brahma, and they pray for the Lord's help. Once I met a devotee in Mexico, one godbrother, but he left the movement. He started to attend more to the Buddhist group. So one day I had a conversation with him. He said that he didn't believe in the existence of the devatas. That these are mythological entities, every culture in the world, they have this mythology about different gods. The Greek have this, this other group has this, the Egyptian also has this idea, but this is all, you know, not real, it's just mythology, illusion. I told him, but do you believe that Krishna is the supreme? He said, no, I have no problem, I believe in God, I'm not atheist. Okay, if Krishna, if you accept Krishna, then Krishna accepted the devatas. Because if you don't believe in devatas, then there was no Govardhan Lila. Because if the Indra didn't exist, there was, you know, no storm, no Krishna didn't lift the Govardhan Hill. And if you don't believe in Lord Brahma, then he didn't go to play for avatar. So no avatar came. Krishna didn't come. He was silent. So we can't separate, you know. Those are all agents of the Lord. Of course, they are called Nishkama Bhakta. They are, you know, they are, most of the devatas, they are not free from material desires. So they want to serve Krishna, but at the same time they want to enjoy heavenly planets. Once Prabhupada said, some of my disciples, they seem to be like devatas. Or they want to be devatas. They want to serve Krishna, at the same time they want to enjoy the material world. So we have to be careful with that. Krishna can please all desires. Because it's a waste of time. Going to heavenly planets, come back again. Again, try again. It's a waste of time. Whether just made up our mind, but, you know, we want to go back home, back to God. Well, in the park, one devotee asked Prabhupada, what is going to happen to the world, you know, in the future? Prabhupada said, why do you worry so much about what's going to happen? People will continue their simple activities, reaction will be there, suffering will be there. Don't waste your time trying, you know, be preoccupied about what will happen to this planet. Reaction will be there, whatever will happen. Whatever time you have left, few years, try to use it to become Krishna conscious and prepare yourself, go back home, back to God. Prabhupada said, oil your own machine. Once Prabhupada was visiting a Gita group in India, you know, they have some Gita, you know, and Prabhupada chastised them. So he entered the place, there was no picture of Krishna, only some lamp, you know, a picture of a lamp, you know, the knowledge and this and that. So Prabhupada said, what is this? You supposedly are following Gita, and the speaker of the Gita's picture is not there. You put some lamp, some impersonal light, you know. What is this? And then they start to ask different questions. And Prabhupada was very patiently answering all their questions. We were hearing yesterday Prabhupada's preaching in Hindi. Of course he can understand, I can't understand. But it's so nice, Prabhupada, you know, very clearly, he doesn't, you know, go around the bush, you know. He goes directly to the point, you know. And chop chop, cut cut, you know. Cut the false ego, the ignorance. Once a lady complained, you know, Prabhupada was giving lecture in a hall in London. At the time of question, she raised her hand and she complained. She said, it looks to me that you're speaking too hard. You are being too hard, you know. Because Prabhupada was criticizing, you know, material life and all this. She said, you are, you know, like that. And Prabhupada said, and what is your compassion? If somebody come to you and have a boil on his hand and just, Lord, poor thing. solve the problem? No. A doctor comes with the knife, cut off. Pain is there, but the person will be cured. So my compassion is like that. Cut off the ignorance.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. I've never seen any guru like him. Nobody can be like him. Shiva Prabhupada ki. So any comments, questions?
Once Prabhupada in Vrindavan, he told Tamakrishna and our teacher Maharaj, so one fine morning he was in tears and he told them that I am going to go to hell. And all the devotees were surprised and they could recognize that yes, because of us. They thought so. And apart that, after that moment is going on, a lot of Prabhupada disciples left the moment.
Prabhupada has to go through the disciples. Prabhupada said, don't take it for granted. Don't force me to come to behave properly. So, of course, I mean, the Guru has responsibility for the disciples to take them back home, back to God. Yeah. But also disciples have the duty to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. If the disciples don't follow the instruction, what the Guru can do? He's responsible if they follow the instruction. If they don't follow the instruction, the responsibility is limited. It will arrange somewhere in the future that they will be in touch again with Krishna consciousness. Of course, he will not reject any fallen disciple, but if they agree to come back, you know, to their senses.
And what is the responsibility then? Somebody is accepting a disciple and he doesn't have to take the responsibility.
But what is the meaning of disciple? Disciple means he who follows the discipline that the Guru gives. Just a name? Disciple? No. Prabhupada once gave initiation at the beginning of the movement. One person. One of them, next day after initiation, he left. He left. He went away. And Prabhupada said, in the same way he didn't accept me, I also didn't accept him. So acceptance is not just you sit in a ceremony and, you know, swaha, swaha. That is external. The real acceptance is when you accept in your heart that he is my eternal Buddha and I'm going to follow his instruction. Then it's actual initiation. Not just to change the name and have, you know, some Brahmin trade or something. That's external. The real thing is, you know, both acceptance. Your guru accept and the disciple also accept. Not only one side, you know, have to be both sides. This reminds me of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He was very heavy guru. You know. Once one of his disciples was seducing the wife of another devotee. So the husband came and complained to Prabhupada, to Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Your disciples, you know, after my wife, please tell him something. So Govinda Maharaj called this disciple, you know, and told him, I don't want to hear again that you disturbing this devotee. Even if the woman is not chaste and she wants to be with you, you should not go. Respect this devotee. Don't do it. He said, yes, yes, Guru Maharaj, I promise I'm not doing it, I'm very sorry. But he again did it. He went after this married lady and I fell down everything. He was Indian devotee. So Guru Govinda Maharaj said, tell him to come. He didn't want to come, he was very afraid. So he told the disciple, bring him by force. They have to bring him, you know, unwillingly. He brought him in front of him. And he said, take out his Kanti Mala. Take the Brahmin train. You are not my disciple anymore. Go away. He was crying, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, please forgive me." Reject. So Guru can also reject. If he wants to, there is another reason.
Provided he knows about the disciple.
Yeah, of course, of course. But I mean, Krishna's in the heart. So if somebody think I can cheat Guru, then he's a fool number one. But Krishna's in the heart, Krishna's Adi Guru, he's the Supreme Guru. You can't cheat Krishna. Definitely not. So one thing like that, he's cheating himself. He's not cheating anybody else, he's cheating himself. So we say every morning, Yasya Prasadam Bhagavat Prasadam, Yasya Prasadam Bhagavat. With the mercy of the Guru Krishna, we get Krishna's mercy. Without the mercy, if he's displeased, then we can't get Krishna's mercy. So that's the point. But unless the devotee understand that, definitely will be problems, difficulties. I mean, Prabhupada once said that if the devotee falls down, break the principles, he's fallen devotee. But if he eats meat, he's not even devotee. Yes, in the fourth canto, Prabhupada explains that after initiation, the disciples should be very careful not to commit sinful activities, because if they do, they will suffer themselves, the reaction. But Guru also may have some reaction in the form of bad dreams, nightmare, things like that. Or some sickness or something.
I was reading a story in Darsana.
Yeah.
So, Paisan was lying down and so many ants were caught.
I know the story. The story is very interesting, you know. One sadhu was doing parikrama and parshana with his disciple, and he saw a snake being bitten by millions of ants, you know, thousands of ants biting, you know. And the Guru stopped and he was laughing. He said, "Guru Maharaj, why are you laughing? Poor serpent is suffering," he said. Because he's in past life, he was a false guru, taking advantage of the disciple for sense gratification. And now the disciple, they are biting him. But he said, "I will stop here to help, you know." So he stood up and was chanting, you know. Was chanting the holy name loudly, you know. So there was some relief for both of them. But just see, this reminds me, there is one Muslim story, Sufi story. There was one drunkard. He always drunk, you know. And he always stumbled and fall, you know. A Muslim. So there was one Muslim guru, you know, Sufi guru. So one time he met this drunkard and told him, "Be very careful, you know, you continue like this, you are going to fall, you know." And the drunkard told him, "If I fall, I fall, I hurt only myself. But you must be more careful than me. Because if you fall, all the others will be in trouble also."
In such cases, when there are some disciples, they do follow the discipline and the guru gets affected. But does it affect the other disciples of the same guru?
No.
He doesn't.
No, karma is individual. Also, guru, of course, is protected by Krishna. Some little reaction may be there. Once Prabhupada, he was sick. So one social worker in India, American, was working as a social worker in India. He was asking questions. You know this book, Perfect Question, Perfect Answers?
Yeah.
So he became later disciple of Ramatirtha. So one question he asked Prabhupada, he wasn't devotee at that time. He was just, you know, in touch with devotees. So he asked Prabhupada, Do you get sick because of your karma? The Prabhupada said, "Yes, my karma is that I accepted many rascal disciples."
When the process is given in Harivantin Rasa, you know, that's the way the disciple and the guru has to, you know, accept each other as a process.
Yeah. Correct.
That gets diluted, you know, suppose Gunis, depending on the some representative to say that, yeah, he's the...
Prabhupada did that himself. I mean, Prabhupada had to preach all over the world unless you have some representative to trust, to recommend people for initiation. I mean, generally speaking, traditionally, guru will live in one place and the disciple will live one place. They will know each other for 1 year and all these things. But this is an international movement. The preaching is going all over the world. Understand? So it's a different situation. Time, place, circumstance. Have to adjust. But then the important thing is the sincerity. How sincere are the disciples, you know? And how qualifies the guru to take care of them?
That's not qualified spiritual master. Yeah. The person who is seeking the guru also should be careful and watch.
Yeah, sure. I mean, those who are recommending, they should be, you know, careful not to recommend any who's not qualified, otherwise they will create problem for the guru.
It's a great risk also.
It's a great responsibility to recommend someone, you know. So they have to see that the person is sincere and following everything correctly, you know. Is receiving proper training and everything in
the spiritual life. And the same thing, guru also, no? Yes. And the recommending ease of these followings are not very important.
Yeah, sure. I mean, nobody should become guru unless he becomes, you know, qualified. You know? A guru means Shrotriyan Brahmanishta. He have heard perfectly from his guru, follow everything he heard from his guru. And Brahmanishta is fixed in the absolute. Unless he has to do those two things, why he should become? Just for fame, name, position, all this is not going to. We have seen our movement. People will become guru and they after some time give up. That means they were not qualified to be guru.
What happens to their disciples, Sadhguru's, you know, who give up after some time?
What happened to the disciples?
Yeah. Do they stay fixed in Krishna consciousness or they leave also?
They should take shelter on Nityananda Prabhu, Adi Guru, the original Guru. And pray to him, and maybe I'm paying some karma. I accepted the wrong person.
Several of them got reinitiated.
That's okay. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that if somebody had the bad fortune to choose the wrong Guru, then the Guru deviates from the path. He has the right to reject the Guru and accept the bona fide Guru.
Most of the people in Chopati did the same. They accepted Radhana's Swami after Bhaktivinoda.
Yeah, they did the right thing. They did the right thing. To purify themselves from this bad connection they had, it's better to reject and accept the proper Guru. That's the best thing to do. At least you have to have some Shiksha Guru, you know, to guide you. And if you surrender to somebody as Shiksha Guru, then if the Shiksha Guru said it's better for you to take initiation again, then you follow. Otherwise, why accept as Shiksha? You don't agree?
Even initiation was supposed to be given on behalf of Prabhupada,
isn't it? I understand. No Guru will initiate unless is doing it on behalf of Prabhupada. Otherwise, what is the strange of every guru now in ISKCON? His strange is by following Prabhupada, because he's a disciple of Prabhupada. So how he can initiate unless he does on behalf of Prabhupada? But we have to be careful what means on behalf of Prabhupada. The repeat thing, to do it on behalf of Prabhupada means that the disciples are Prabhupada, direct Prabhupada disciples. The guru just a ceremony making, you know, that's all. Ritric, you know, just like a priest doing ceremony. But they're actually initiated by Prabhupada. That's wrong philosophy. If they think that on behalf of Prabhupada means that is completely wrong philosophy.
But what I said, Radhana Swami observes, you know, he keeps the Prabhupada picture and he says that's, that. And, but here they don't do that in Doha.
Well, because you just put the picture of Prabhupada, you know.
That's, and now and also they don't do that. They just give initiation on directly like that.
Prabhu, I've been in Vrindavan, I have seen initiation there. Prabhupada, although they do for practical reason on the yard, because there's more room for people to stay and everything. Prabhupada is there in the temple. The murti of Prabhupada is there. So there's no need to put pictures because it's already there. And the important thing is the spirit. What is the bhav of the person?
Talking about the bhav part.
Yeah, the bhav is the most important thing. The guru is devoted to his guru. And he knows I'm doing this on behalf of my guru because he ordered me to assist him in his mission. I'm just an agent, you know. Of course, that doesn't mean he doesn't take responsibility for the disciple. He has to. Prabhupada mentioned very clearly that they become disciple of my disciple. He said very those same words. So the Ritvik are failing there in that regard because they are concocting ideas.
So what happens to the next generation, you know, grand disciples of Prabhupada and the
same thing. Same parampara must go on.
Yeah, same process.
The important thing is that they must qualify themselves first. Prabhupada said, first follow strictly, then you can take more responsibility, you know, as guru and all this. Simple thing. Unless they follow strictly, how can they do? So, and maturely and timely, if somebody takes responsibility beyond his capability, he will have difficulties, for sure. Well, sometimes it's not done with bad intention, it's just, you know, innocently or, you know, out of enthusiasm, they want to do it, you know. But then after some time they realize that they were not prepared for that.
But now, like some of the grand disciples of Prabhupada are also initiated, for example, Kadam Kanan Mahavir,
yeah, yeah.
The Mahavishnu.
So but there is
they are perhaps initiating on behalf of his guru, not on behalf of Prabhupada, because the Sarampara has to continue like that.
Correct. I mean, Prabhupada said one should not initiate in the presence of his guru. All disciples should be offered to the guru. All prospective disciples should go to the guru. That's the general instruction given by Prabhupada. But at the same time, the important thing is the will of the guru. A disciple should not desire to become guru in the presence of his own guru. That is wrong. But if the guru ordered, I want you to do like this, then he has to obey. That simple. Nikambaka Maharaj is Guru Jayadvaita. So I know Jayadvaita Maharaj wanted him to do like this. He ordered, I wanted to do. Because he's traveling, preaching, many people are attracted to him, you know.
Yeah, it is there in the site also, he has confirmed that this is, you know, from my instruction.
Yes. Yes. If the Guru doesn't agree, of course he can't be. And he should not desire to do it unless the Guru gives the order. He shall not promote himself in the presence of his guru. That's offense. He should avoid it. But if your guru are there, then he has to accept. And we have in our sampradaya, you know, many stories like that. The Shyamananda Pandit, he ordered his disciple Rasikananda to initiate disciples. There is a story of that. It's not something concocted. And many others like that too.
Even Prabhupada also said it, but he was there. So many, you know, cases they're recording that Prabhupada will now you initiate.
Yes. But Prabhupada said that general rule that the disciples should not do it in the presence of their guru. That's general rule. But if the guru give the order, then everything depends on the will of the guru. Finally. The will of the Vaishnava. Some people decide that Prabhupada gave initiation by letter. You know? 4 hours sending just a letter. But the important thing in initiation is the will of the Vaishnava. If he's accepting, that's the most important thing. Krishna's also accepting.
That is the crux actually.
Yeah.
Prabhupada's
sentences are so very clear, yes, in writing, in speaking, in behaving, and how that like the Ritviks have come, and everything is so crystal. Yeah, yeah. The problem is, I will tell you, I know the story of the Ritvik, how it started and everything. All this Ritvik movement is based on the fall downs of gurus and iskas. They are overreacting to a problem. So this one disciple Prabhupada, his name is Nityananda, an American. He invented this new philosophy in the 1990. He made up this philosophy. And he used, twisted some words in Prabhupada's letter to, you know, back up his idea. The idea is Prabhupada wrote a letter and when he was sick in 1977. Actually, the letter was written by Tamar Krishna. And Prabhupada read the letter and he signed it. Okay. But the letter Prabhupada is explaining, because Prabhupada named 11 Ritvik to initiate on his behalf while he was sick, because he didn't want to do it personally because of his health condition. So Prabhupada is saying in the letter, henceforward the initiation will be like that. So the Ritvik, they take this word henceforward to mean that forever the initiation will be like that. They twist the thing, you know. They take this letter like the only proof they have for that. But Prabhupada used this word so many times to mean many things. He was, since forward you will be temper present. That means he eternally has to be temper present. He can't go somewhere else. He will be able to disobey Prabhupada. Or you may say, henceforth you are husband and wife. You'll be eternally? Maybe yes, maybe not.
So many of them left, actually.
Yes. So, I mean, and even if they say like that, if they believe like that, then they have to take only from the 11. One of the 11. If that is so, they think like that. The only those 11 can do it. Nobody else. Because Prabhupada said like that, according to them. So the 11 only left like two. So they have to go to this too, and if the two don't agree, what they can do? Understand? So it's all mental speculation, this idea. It's more a political movement than a spiritual or philosophical movement. It's just to rebel. Yeah, to rebel against authority. It's, you know, not accept nobody.
Catching up very fast, people, some other...
Oh, because people like to rebel. People like to go against authority. And it's very, try to understand their logic. Their logic is, okay, well, Prabhupada wanted this movement to continue. So he said, don't go to the Gaudiya Math Gurus. Okay? Prabhupada said, my godbrothers are great souls, don't criticize them. But don't associate too intimately with them. Because if they say something different from what I said, they may create confusion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, correct. So anyway, they thought, okay, if that is the problem is, you know, we are having gurus falling down. So what is the solution? Let Prabhupada become a Diksha Guru for everyone, no problem. Nobody will be problem. It seemed like logical and practical solution. If it is alright to do it. But if it is not alright to do it, then just have speculation. And that's what they are doing.
Shastras have to support this idea.
Yeah, there is no support for Shastra for this. I mean, if Prabhupada say that after initiation the disciples should be careful because if they do something wrong, the Guru will suffer. So how is that? Who will suffer if they do something wrong after their initiation? No brains. They have no intelligence. I will see, because of their offenses against so many Vaishnavas, you know, their intelligence was covered by Maya. So they can't see. They are clearly, they're fanatical, believe in this, you know. You can't argue with them. Sometimes, right?
You're right. I don't blame them also, but yeah. The present circumstances demanding like that, because the gurus are not behaving properly. This is the problem.
I mean,
circumstances cannot always grab the Shastra.
Okay, Prabhu.
I
sympathize with the Ritvik because many of them, maybe they lost their guru and they lost faith and everything. Okay, we should try to help them and all these things, you know. We should not hate them, you know. Hate the sin but not the sinner. We should try to help them. But at the same time, two wrong doesn't make one right. Understand? So guru falling down, that's wrong. But also to try to change all the system, parampara, is also wrong. So two wrong doesn't make one right. Understand? So that's the conclusion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So,
Srila
Prabhupada ki jai.